while every head is bowed. In Jesus' name, Lord, we're so thankful for your vessels of mercy and grace. Lord, thank you that truly the simplicity of it all is just to allow you to overwhelm us. Lord, to see again your beauty and your glory. Oh, Lord, thank you for these hearts, Lord God, that are surrendering, Jesus, to your will. And Lord God, thank you again for your mighty work that you never leave us nor forsake us. You never give up on us, Lord God. And thank you again for your wonderful, wonderful grace. Lord, the ministering of your saints, Lord God, the evidence, Lord, of your glory upon your vessels, Lord God, and the grace that works effectually, Lord Jesus. Thank you again that we've been so privileged to watch it in one another, to see, Lord, out of every kindred and tongue and nation, out of every way, out of every lifestyle, Lord God, it's you. You are the one that calls, and you're the one that draws, Lord God. Thank you again for the oneness that we have in Christ. Lord, thank you for the unity of the Spirit, your bond of perfectness and peace. Lord, again this morning, may we just grow and be more overwhelmed in your beauty. May you just enlighten the eyes of understanding to see the beauty of the Word of God, the majesty of your plan, the intimate care that you have for us, every thought. Lord God, let us just rejoice. Let us be mature, glad, thankful, glorious sons, praising the Father, all in the Son. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Oh, thank God. That did me good. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles. We'll start today in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Move on over to Romans chapter 1. And finish up in 2 Peter chapter 3. So again, we'll start in 2 Timothy 3, Romans 1, 2 Peter 3. Now, I mentioned this a little bit earlier today, but I've never seen such fear as I'm beginning to see in this world today. Unfortunately, I'm seeing a lot of fear in God's precious people. And we know the Word of God tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. And who is perfect love? Christ Jesus, amen? And who is Christ Jesus? The Word. So I can bring all that, praise God, by the Spirit in my heart. I know that perfect love is the Word of God. Amen? So the Word of God, perfect love, casts out all fear. And that word perfect, I want you to understand as well, too. It means complete, all, exact, intimate, all of those things. So let's talk about the whole counsel of God. You need it all, praise God. The perfect completeness of His love. And that casts out all fear. Amen. But in that fear, I can't tell you how many calls I get throughout the week. A lot of comments and different things. Oh, the buzz one of the day is, oh my goodness, can you believe the Supreme Court rulings? Can you imagine what our government is doing? Oh, brother, you see the things going on in the Middle East and all over this world and on and on and on. And like I said, emails and emails that say, can we join this cause? Brother, I think we need to be on this petition. Maybe we could get a little group to go down to D.C. All I can tell you, brothers and sisters, is I am so thankful by the grace of God that I'm placing all my confidence in the Scriptures. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful that I am not swayed. By the grace of God, I am not fearful. By the grace of God, I am not moved, because the Bible, praise His name, has already told me about all of this stuff, all of these events, and praise be to God, we'll just talk about a few of them right here. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Then here we go. Now, you're not just watching your TV when I read these things. You're not just reading your newspaper. These just aren't your neighbors. But they're right here in the Word of God. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Man, can you imagine the billions that are made right now on your own selves? Now get your heads up. But you know what I'm talking about. Oh, biomedical and health this and health that and beauty this and lift that and take that out. And my goodness, I'm going to get a new body like unto His own glorious one. How about you? Amen. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. It's almost hard to go on, isn't it? Without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers. Incontinent means out of control. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. I guess we're in the last days. What do you think? This could be the last day. Well, I'm just kind of teasing, but you know what I'm saying there. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So who are these ones and how did they get like that? Let's go on over to Romans chapter 1. Who are these ones? How did they get like that? Romans chapter 1, let's pick it up from the 21st verse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Do you know that Paul's gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven? You best know that. Read Colossians 1, it'll tell you right there. Do you know that all men are without excuse? Do you know that God's will, and it says this in Timothy, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Amen, amen, amen. There is no excuse. But because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. You think of what people worship today? Anything but God. So that corruptible image, it's all there. But especially the corruptible image that's like corruptible man. And to birds, to four-footed beasts, to creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's going on right now at the most increasing rate there it has ever been. Ever been. And see, brothers and sisters, when we're talking about these ones that we said earlier, that, you know, that they became lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, you can't love God without Christ. So we're talking about the slipping away of God's people. We're even visiting here on parts and encouragements, brothers and sisters, that, you know, when we go after these things, we're going to believe the lie. And I see a lot of God's precious people today, because they don't stay in the truth and hear the Word of God, they're beginning to believe the lie. They're beginning to let down. They're beginning to say, good God, good devil, good everybody. So this is again it, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature or creation, man. They worship man more than the Creator who is blessed forever, amen. It didn't stop there. God didn't say, okay, well, that's all good and then. No. If we're going to magnify sin, we're going to magnify sin. So here we go. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. We're just going to pause and think on these things a bit. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. But it didn't end there. So let's not just get caught up on one thing. Let's understand the whole thing. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate. That means they were unfit. That means they were unable to discern right from wrong. That's what reprobate means. You can't even discern right from wrong. Think about it right now. This is the greatest time we've ever been in. People cannot even discern right from wrong. They can't. Because their conscience has been seared with a rod of hot iron. Listen to the word of God. This should not surprise you. Know the word of God. I'm not being an alarmist here. I'm just giving you the word of God. And we're going to get into see how exciting this really is. But see, he gave them over to a reprobate mind. You're not even going to know what right from wrong is. You're going to run around like a bunch of beasts to do those things which are not convenient. They're not fit. They're unsound. Being filled with all unrighteousness, not just some. You're going to go after all this. You're going to get it all. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Think of the evil that we've invented. We're here. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. Listen to all these things. I mean, these are our headlines every day. Go to the entertainment page. There's all of them there. Go to our political or worldly events. There's all of them there. It's all here, isn't it? And again, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful. Been saying, oh my goodness, think of the things that we're doing now to people. Well, we were too educated for that, weren't we? Oh no, the evil of man will wax worse and worse and worse and worse. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, if I didn't know any more of the Word of God, there's a high building out there and a big cliff over there. Might as well just get it over with. Yeah, come on now. Let's be honest, without the Word of God. This horrible stuff. This is going on right now. And I can see all these heads shaking. Oh, yes, yes, I see that, brother. But I want you to know this. God did not give us these things. God did not tell us these things. God did not give us these signs to scare us. He did not. Because he tells you, as we started, perfect love casts out all fear. Amen. He didn't tell us all these things. He didn't give us all these signs to get us riled up to form a committee to stop it. He didn't say, let's get a big group of folks together to change the world. No, he gave us this prophecy so we would not be alarmed. He gave us these signs so we would not be hysterical. He told us these things would be so we would not be depressed. And instead, we would be, praise God, in His great graciousness, we would be ready, we would be awake, we would be alive, and we would be expecting the event that is at hand, brothers and sisters, the coming of the Lord that is upon us. The I am that I am, praise be to God, I am about to appear. Perspective's everything, ain't it? Huh? I'm going to ask you right now before we go on, children of the King, where are you seated? You're not in that pew. Oh, no, you're not. You are seated in the heavens in Christ. Oh, yes, you are. Now, whether or not you're seeing from up there where you're seated, God help you, because I can't, but God can. But by the grace of God, may we have enlightened eyes of understanding to begin to see where God has already sat you in His Son. Brothers and sisters, He gave us this to be awake. I understand it's not comfortable. I'm groaning in this thing. How about you, huh? I'm groaning for this corruptible to put on the incorruptible. But when we see such debauchery and ungodliness, and yes, I guess I am getting a little bit older, when there was a little bit of time, when there was a little bit of sincerity of the love of God, but yet now it's ever so quickly and suddenly departing, it's sad. There is a sadness. It does bring sorrow. I've got kids. I see our young people. There's a sorrow there. But by the grace of God, may His perfect love cast out all fear. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Brothers and sisters, I'll tell you, it is so amazing that even though we sorrow, we do not sorrow as them that have no hope. Because this hope that we have instead gives us the most hopeful and joy abounding time there's ever been. I'm talking about the time that I believe by the grace of God, any moment now, I'm going to step into, that my faith is going to be made sight. My faith is going to be made whole. We are about to see Him and be like Him. Now, I don't know about you, but that just made me feel a whole lot better than where I was yesterday watching the news, reading the paper, talking to my Christian friend who just sent me 4,000 emails on everybody's opinion and everybody I need to click and send that thing to. I hope your mouse don't work. Stop it. Stop it. I pray people get mad at me. It's about time. Get upset. I want you to win God's best. And I'll tell you one thing. If your affections are set and entangled in the things of this life, you're going to miss God's best. You're going to miss what He gave His Son for you to have. I had to just stop for just a second. We're not there yet. But I want to be there. Hallelujah. But God showed us this in Noah's day, brothers and sisters. He did. He showed us this in many things in the Bible. But I believe we all have seen enough Hollywood movies of Noah's Ark. We kind of get the picture. I'm hoping you read it in the Word of God. But in Noah's day, see, the rain started. And when that rain started, it made many fearful. And matter of fact, many died. But there were 8 glad souls. 8. They were rejoicing. They were thankful. They were happy. And why? The same reason why we might have 8 here today that are happy and rejoicing. I hope we have more than 8. It's because they believe the word of God. Because they just simply believe the word of God. They believed what he said is true. They believe God's promises that day would come. And that when that day would come, the ark would lift them and carry them away. Amen. Well, I got news for you, brothers and sisters. The ark is here. Oh, yes. And the boarding is now. The boarding is now. And it is. And brothers and sisters, the boarding is by them just as in Noah's day, that are believing him, that are looking for him, and that are confident that God will fulfill and perform his will. Amen. Why is it so difficult for God now to perform what he said he was going to perform? Isn't that amazing? God said, I'm going to send my son. He came. Can you imagine that? And there were about 8 that were looking for him then. Shepherds, a couple wise men. Joseph and Mary, sometimes I just wonder. And then he told his disciples, all of them, they're going to hang me on that cross. I'm going to be crucified. And yet, they didn't believe him again. And you know what happened? He was put on that cross. They nailed those spikes in his hands and feet. He became sin for us who knew no sin. And he gave up the ghost. Hallelujah. But even after all of that, he was born, died on that cross. He told them, but honeys, I'm going to rise again. Oh, but he just can't do that too. Right? Wasn't that right where they were? Come on now. Oh, yes. And by golly, you know what happened after 3 days and 3 nights? He rose. He rose. But then the story wasn't then done yet. And they said, you know what, I'm going to ascend to the right hand of the Father. And you know again, how can that be? Now wait a second. He came, he was born in that lowly manger. He came and, you know, they nailed him to the cross and he died and he rose again. And then there he went. And he said, in like fashion as I go, you'll see me come again. But wait a second. This is our time now, isn't it? We just went fast forward and here we are. Now, brothers and sisters, 1 Peter 3 tells us that in Noah's time, see, a lot of folks don't read the whole Word of God and don't listen to what the Word of God says, but you'll read there in 1 Peter 3. That there were some, besides Noah's family, that were not disobedient. In order for you not to be disobedient, let me tell you something. You have to be a believer. Because if you don't believe the Lord, the only thing you can be is disobedient. The only way you can be obedient is to believe God. So there in 1 Peter 3, you will read that there were ones that were obedient. They were just ones, good ones. But can you imagine there were still only 8 that made the trip? Even though there were some others that were not disobedient, they were left behind. They perished because they were not looking for the ark. They did not lay hold and cherish the prophecy for their time. And the same thing's going on today. And we have a prophecy for our time. The bridegroom's coming. He's coming. Oh, yes, he is. And I thank God that he's coming. And there are only, again, just a handful, I'm hoping more than eight, that are looking for the bridegroom. But just as in Noah's time where there were some that were not disobedient, we have many that were not all disobedient. We have many of the family of God today. We have many, praise God, thousands, millions of Christians today that are living. But they're asleep. They're just like those ones, brothers and sisters, that they weren't disobedient, but they weren't awake and alive and looking for the thief that is coming in the night. Turn on over to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Just like they had scoffers in the day, where is this Savior that was supposed to be born? Just like the scoffers that they had in the day, will write here, King of the Jews, and will kill him. And they didn't realize they weren't doing anything but exactly what God ordered and intended them to do. Amen? Oh, yes. And these are the same unbelieving scoffers that are saying today, where is the promise of his coming? And the sad thing is, brothers and sisters, many Christians are getting in this camp. Because when you want to be turned over to a lie, if you want to listen to a lie, you'll believe a lie. And just because God has you waiting for something doesn't mean it's not going to happen. If God has told you in his word it's going to happen, I will tell you that's the only thing that's going to happen. And he said, I'm coming again. And we've just read through all of these things in the last days, in the last days, in the last days, and all of this description. Brothers and sisters, you were sitting there a minute ago, yeah. We got to this part, and well, I don't know, maybe he's not coming yet. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you right now, it's raining. I think the water's up to here. And the ark is just sitting there. It's wide open. Is it not? Is it not when he said, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth? But he says there, and they'll say, where is the promise of his coming in verse 4? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant. See, they're willingly ignorant. They choose this. And by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, see this, you perk up ears. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So he's even telling us in our little minds, even though it's even far more meaning than what he's trying to tell us. Honey, I haven't even gone 2 days. Do you get that? 2 days. Come on, and it's not even that. What is time to God? Because this is my promise. My promise supersedes any time. Time has no time to me. I'm God. I just said it, and it is so. So he says, now look, one day is with me, 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. See, he's doing this for your benefit. Oh, yes, he is. He came right now, we might all be sitting here. I saw a couple people leave already. Come on now. The Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. See how merciful he is. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Kind of makes the green green. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, endeavor, speed up your going, brothers, exactly what that means, that ye may be found of him in what? Peace. Oh my goodness, what do you mean? I thought I'd be found in him working and striving and doing all these things. No, he said peace. He's already proposed to them that are in peace. Those brides-to-be aren't worried about the groom showing up. They know that the date's been set. Huh? Come on, wake up. Without spot and blameless. God help us to look up. Amen? But see, looking up just doesn't mean just lifting my chin and looking up. I'm going to tell you, there's only one way you're ever going to look up. And that's Paul's gospel. There's no other way you'll be looking up. There's no other way that you're going to, again, have that exalted rank, that crown that was given to Paul of righteousness. All them also that love his appearing. You'll never love his appearing without the whole counsel of God. You won't. And knowing this proposal and knowing that he's coming for you, the greatest sign of readiness is peace. Praise God, blameless, without spot. Grace, 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 all over that, isn't it? Amen? Oh, yes, it's the grace of God. See, man can only do unto us what God allows. By grace I know, and I'm so thankful to know this, as any son should know, thou hast no power over me, except it were given to him of my Father. Where did we start today talking about fear? Amen. Man cannot have any power over me except it be given to him of my Father. And that is why, brothers and sisters, we need to know Paul's gospel. We need to stay in Paul's gospel. We need to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. May we abide in it and tarry just a little bit longer. For when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the praise. We so appreciate your word, and that your word is true. Thank you, Lord, that your word works effectually in us who believe. And Lord, I'm grateful to God. It's by your grace that we believe you today. Lord, help us to feed upon these things and to again go and search these things out, to rejoice in them daily, to bring them always to our remembrance. We thank you, Lord, that we have been called and chosen of the King. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.